So for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about evangelism, what it is, what it is not. We've talked about outreach, how outreach can be supernatural and it can be natural, how the effectiveness of outreach is determined by if we let the Holy Spirit use us with outreach, and that's the difference between effective and ineffective. We've talked about how long-term results are most important. Short-term results get us excited sometimes, but at the reality of it all, we want long-term results. Amen? Eternity is a what? A long time. So we want our results to be eternal. So tonight, we're going to get into some planning exercises. We're going to do some practicing and just goof around a little bit. And we're going to have some fun with it. But we're also going to get down to the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road, brass tacks, if you would. So before we do all that, I have a couple things that I want to talk about when it comes to there's a lot of misconceptions when it comes to outreach. And remember what I said, there's a lot of difference between effective outreach and ineffective outreach. How many times have we done outreaches where it was like, hey, here's a bottle of water and see you next time? Or we hand out flyers or we put up a bounce house and yeah, your kid got to come and got to bounce around a little bit. But what happened at the end of it? We had a hot dog supper. We gave away, free tickets to the movies as a raffle, and we talked about God a little bit, but nobody came down for prayer and nothing happened. I've been a part of a lot of things that were good intentions, but at the end of it, there was no fruit. And a lot of that comes to, and we're going to get you, I've got this giant Dorito on the board, but we're going to get to this in just a minute. A lot of it has to do with bad planning. And a lot of us have preconceived ideas of who we should be targeting. And so what happens is we get this circle of failure that begins, and it's very ineffective, it's not cost efficient, it's very bad stewards of the glory, the anointing, your strength, your time, your resources, your everything. And so we run around this big circle of failure until we're dog tired and our tongue's hanging out, and we look around to see who's following after us, and nobody got saved. Nobody got healed. Nobody got delivered. Nobody is even happy. And then the people that are in the church are wore slap out because we worked our butts off and we have nothing to show for it. Does that make sense? The devil loves keeping God's people busy and not being effective. And so if you look at the most successful outreaches, the most successful evangelistic crusades, the campaigns of any kind, if you look at, in the secular world, advertisement, they target specific types of people. So let's make a list of who it is that we want to outreach. Like, who are we trying to outreach to? Who is the number one person, or the number one group of people, or the number one, don't tell it, Amy, or the number one whatever, that 99% of outreaches target? Hang on a minute. Unchurched. Teenagers. What? Kids. The lost. Hang on. Michelle. The broken. Inner city. Families. Anybody else? Criminal. Yeah, criminals, people with a car. Hey, y'all, listen to me. Listen, I just hide that in a bushel and don't let it shine quite yet. You are on a good path. I promise you, Rachel. You are outside the box in a good direction. Now, listen to me. What 99%? I'm going to go through the list in a very generic way. People that are down and out, that need something major in their life. We had criminals, we had homeless, we had teenagers, we had kids, we had all these different things. So like, out of all those names, who needs the outreach the most? Okay, so let's think about all these names and all these things that everybody said. Who do you think, or what's the first person, or the first people group, or the first, you know, socioeconomic group that we need? Low income. Anybody else?
Or we need in the church, or that we need.
Well, that we feel like needs outreach the most.
See,
or that it will be, let me put it this way, that it'll be the most effective outreach. Like it'll change their lives the most. The next generation, kids, youth, let's just do this. Look, all right, hang on. So we're saying youth / next gen. Why do I say that? Kids, all right? Minors. All right. Somebody said homeless / needy. Because you can have a house and no groceries. All right. All right. Anybody else? All right. So here's what I want you to understand. Who do you think needs outreach the least? Like these need it the most. Like the homeless, the needy, the criminals, the youth, the next generation, the lost out there that are just wandering around in the fields. Who needs it the least? People. The rich people. Y'all want a free hot dog? Heck no. I'm going to Roadhouse. I'm just going to put money. So anybody else? Here's the reality of it. This is all cool, and I love this, and I appreciate this. But this is where the rubber meets the road. Okay? Can I just be blunt and honest? That's the reality of it. What does that say? If you want to affect people with your outreach, you've got to be in the middle of it as the church. The trickle-down effect, listen to me, the trickle-down effect of economics. What does that look like, Kendall? You throw money into the economy, not at the bottom, but you throw it in and you stimulate businesses and economy up there. Those people hire more workers to produce a product, to give a service, to do something, and those workers, in turn, spend the money back into businesses, and it's a circle, not a failure. Remember, we're trying to get off the failure circle of always just feeding people and giving people coats and never seeing nobody changed. We're trying to get it going in the right direction. So if we're going to do something and expect different results, we've got to do something different. So what a lot of churches do not focus on, and what a lot of churches we drop the ball, is we want to, I'm not being mean, I'm not being cranky, I'm not being cruel, I'm not being any kind of way. We waste a lot of resources on feeding people fish. Instead of teaching people how to fish. We spend a lot of resources on enabling lifestyles that are not conducive to spiritual growth. What we need to do is we need to attack with effective outreach the people in the community that have three things: money, influence, and authority. Man, Shelby, God's got all authority. He does in the spiritual realm, but he cannot operate in the natural unless man gives him way. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but it also says that the devil is the prince of the air. He's in control of this earth right now, whether you want to believe it or not. Why? Because we gave him authority. God never gave the devil authority. God gave us authority. In the garden, he said, you name the animals, you have dominion over them. You speak and call things as though they are, even if they're not. You do these different things, and you will rule and reign in authority over this earth with dominion. But in the garden, what come up? A little serpent, in the form of a serpent, it was the devil. He beguiled Eve. She took of the fruit that she was not supposed to. Adam ate of it. They were judged. They were cast out of the garden. And guess what? They fell. And when they did, they were cursed. Women, you have cramps. You have birth pains. You have issues, problems, and circumstances in your mind with hormones and with other factors that you were never intended to deal with. Men, you have issues and problems and situations that you've got to deal with. Hormones, attitude problems. Wives, you want to get real and honest? Women were not created to be submissive. Women were created to be equal. Now they're made to be submissive, and they don't like it. Therefore, it's a problem. We've been fighting it for 6,000 years. Y'all want to laugh? Laugh. It's the truth. Read your book. Man, you got to till the earth. You got to plant. You're never going to eat again unless you're sweaty. That's what God told them. He said, by your energy and what you put into it, you'll get out. Well, guess what? It still sometimes has a drought, and it still sometimes has a tornado, and it still sometimes has a flood. Why? Because this world got jacked up when we let our authority go and we gave it to the devil. We allowed the enemy to rule, reign, and wreak havoc in creation. But when Jesus came, all authority in heaven and in the earth was given unto Him. When He rose from the dead after being in the middle of the earth for 3 days, preaching to the people in the Old Testament and all those folks in paradise, He came out, He had the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and He gave us the keys when we received the Holy Ghost. Now, I know we're talking a lot about some things, but what you've got to understand is we are in the middle of a power struggle between heavenly things and earthly things. And this world is not ran. Listen to me carefully. The economy of this world is not ran by faith. It is ran by dollars. The economy of heaven is ran by faith and the power of the Holy Ghost in operation. But you have to operate in this world, and as long as we're operating in the system of demonic domination, you're going to have money, authority, and influence to get anything done. I'm sorry. You go march your little happy self down there to McDonald's and tell the manager of that Golden Arch place that you want a free cheeseburger because Jesus is Lord. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. And if you hang out too long, you're going to get arrested. Why? Because they don't take faith in exchange for cheeseburgers. Huh? They don't take your influence at the church as in you walk into McDonald's and start preaching on the counter. You say, I got authority by the blood of Jesus to be preaching down here. Guess what? You're going to get thrown in the insane asylum because you don't have authority to operate at McDonald's. And y'all, I know some of y'all are like, Brother Shelby, this isn't a very spiritual lesson. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to be where the rubber meets the road. And sometimes we are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. The disciples had to find a brother with some loaves and some fishes before they could be broke. God could have spoke and defied it. My God, somebody hear me out. We are under, as Christians, we're under the law of grace and mercy. But we live in a world that is still under the law of sin and death. Until it burns, and until the new heaven and the new earth comes, and until everything is set back in order, we're going to deal with some things. It's just the truth. People's going to get sick. People's going to have pains. People are going to have bad days. And I'm just here to tell you something. You can bet your boots that if the devil can hold his influence, money, and authority, and he can move it into using it for evil and moving it over here and using it for disruption and moving it over here and using it for chaos, he's going to do so. But when the church starts embracing the influence, money, and authority and redeeming it, somebody hear me out carefully. There's a lot of rich people in this world that were once using their money for bad, that got saved, and now they're using their influence, money, and authority for building the kingdom. Because I'm here to tell you, there ain't nothing any better than when you're going overseas or you're doing something and you're struggling and you're striving and you're trying to raise money, you're trying to get permits, you're trying to get people on board of this thing, and then some rich Christian or somebody that just God spoke to them. They sold a cow. They sold a house. They sold a car. They did something. And they said, the Lord woke them up and said, give some money to this program or this project. Give some, help them. Get something done. Let me tell you something. I got lost. Or I didn't get lost. What happened in that flight? Oh, I remember. They canceled my flight. They've canceled my flight in Uganda. Pastor Harold, James Clayton, all them, they was right up on there. Flew away. I'm stuck in a hot airport with no air conditioning. And it's nasty. There's people there that will kill you, steal you, rob you, I'm telling you, and I'm already running on like zero sleep because we fly out at midnight over there to get back here in the afternoon. It's a 20-something hour flight. But let me tell you what happened. I found favor at a cell phone kiosk in the airport. This lady, I was walking by, and the night before I'd preached at Bishop Chaganda's church, which I didn't know this when we got invited to go. There was the largest church in Uganda. In Eastern Africa, East Central Africa, that satellite dish sends that broadcast to millions and millions of people all on that eastern side of Africa. Well, I'm walking down through there with my bag, and it's 1 something in the morning. All the restaurants are closed. It's probably later than that, probably 2 something in the morning. I've gone to the drink machine and got, all they had was hot orange juice. That is the worst. It's like indigestion, heartburn, like I felt like a Pepto commercial. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. It was just like it was terrible. And it's hot and there's mosquitoes. But then like where the kiosks are, they have like a vent that just dumps air. They have like, that's their air conditioning. You got under the vent. Well, usually you're standing around a bunch of people. Well, I'm walking down with my bag and I'm just going to go sit on a bench. And I hear, sir, I said, you look familiar. I said, yeah, whatever. I'm the only white guy here. So anyway, she calls me over there and she says, why are you here? And I told her the story. She said, I saw you on the broadcast last night, Bishop Chaganda's church. I was like, yeah, we preached there last night. And she was like, why don't you sit here? And she went in her little side deal, got me this big, nice office chair, put it right underneath her vent, and I got to cool off, drank my hot orange juice, hung out for a couple hours. Well, listen, the flights start coming in about 4 a.m. Well, these people come up, really nice, well-to-do, dressed people. I sat down, I'm sitting there, and this guy walks up, and he introduced himself and starts talking to me. He said, you look real familiar. I said, no, I said, I'm just nobody, I'm just heading to America. Missed my flight got overbooked, and I got left behind, and all my people are there, and I start telling the story. He said, I know where I saw you from. You were on TV. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, whatever. Same story as before. Well, he calls this woman over there. This woman comes up, and he is the helper to the Secretary of Education for Uganda. And she's a big woman of influence. We're trying to get this school that we're building over there accredited. Been going through all this paperwork. Terrible, awful stuff. Big packets, long as your leg. Horrible stuff. Lots of fees. Lots of red tape. You got to bribe people over there. You got to get stuff done. You just got to play the game. You know, just play the game. It's like, how much is it going to cost? It's going to cost you $500, but put $7 because you're going to have to pay somebody $200 to get in. Just a bribe. That's what you got to do. Or you can sit outside the gate. She says, and I start telling her, hey, we're working on this school and all this stuff. And we're trying to get it accredited. She said, what's the name of the school? And I told her where it was, Golokaka, and all this different stuff. And she says, she gives me her card. She says, you have your director call me. It's done. And then she handed me the card and turned it around. Took it back from me. I'm like, what the heck, man? Took it from me. Writes her personal cell number on it. Gets in her purse. Folds up a $100 bill. Puts it in there. She said, here's dinner and lunch and snacks on me for the rest of your trip since you missed your flight. I want to bless you. And you know what? I know for a fact. I could have been sitting down there on a bench with my hot orange juice, sulking and sour. But God put me in the path of somebody with influence, somebody with money, somebody with authority. Guess what? The accreditation is done and the building's not even built yet. Amy, you said something. I want you to say it out loud, really big. What do we call people with influence, money, and authority? Stakeholders. You ain't holding a ribeye. Why do we call them stakeholders? You can influence people that are homeless, that are needy, that are criminals, that are youth, next generation, all that stuff. But let's they're upside down, but let's just start right there. The next generation in youth. If I wanted to reach the youth tomorrow, I mean I'm not hypothetical. If Shelby Crump wanted to go to the school, what do I need to do? Rachel, if I wanted to come to visit your class tomorrow, what would I have to do? Could I just come into your class though? No. Why? I don't have the right credentials. So everything that I'm going to do that is going to reach those youth at that school, even if I'm dropping off a bucket of gummy bears, I have to go through somebody with authority that has influence, and that money ain't a real big factor in the school. You have to go through the means to where you can reach the masses. You influence the people that influence your target.